Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Matthew, and welcome to another Pappy's Flatshare House Meeting.
House Meeting, that's right, the Flatshare version of our podcast where we sit around and talk. And sometimes we start sentences, we don't know how they're going to end.
So this is the Flatshare version of our podcast, is it?
Yeah.
Is that what
it's
it
good
is?
To know. It's good
so,
to know, isn't it?
So
really?
This is the full title of this is Pappy's Flatshare, brackets, Flatshare version, a.k.a. House Meeting, and then whatever we decide to call this episode.
Yeah.
So it's good to know that this is the Flatshare version of the show. By the way, shall we just very quickly promote the Flatshare panel show version of the podcast?
Absolutely.
Flatshare Slamdown. Because we've got another one, a live one over Zoom. If you haven't watched them already, they're really, really fun. You can watch it live on February 16th at 8 p.m. and we have two absolutely stellar guests, so we'd love to see you there.
Yes, we've got Angela Barnes and Cariad Lloyd, two massive talents and friends of the show, so yeah, it's good to have them back. It's always a laugh riot having those live evenings on Zoom. It's like an evening out of the house in the comfort of your own home. So
exactly right, yeah. It's so if you go to eventbrite.co.uk and search for Pappy's Flatshare, or there'll be a link in the show notes, or go to our Twitter at Pappy's Tweet, or there's usually one on Instagram at Pappy's Comedy. There's plenty of places to find these tickets. And we're doing this as part of the Leicester Comedy Festival. We're back at the Leicester Comedy Festival for the first time in, I think, about 8 years.
Reunited.
Can you believe it?
It feels so good.
And you
up
know what
to the Leicester
is?
Comedy Festival without ever having to actually go to Leicester.
That's exactly it, yeah. That was always, you know, I love the Leicester Comedy Festival, but there was always one big sticking point. Its location. It's a lovely festival otherwise. So now I can do it from my flat. Very, very happy with that. In fact, you
as
could
long
say
as we order,
it's the Flatshare version of the Leicester Comedy Festival.
As long as we order a big curry for afterwards, because that's what I miss about being in Leicester. There's always a great curry post-gig going on in Leicester. So as long
do
as
you know
we
what
get
I,
some...
Go do on. You know what? I think it's not that... I don't think it's that Leicester is a bad place. It's that I think we just didn't enjoy gigging. It's so much nicer to get in a car, drive to Leicester, go for a big curry, have a couple of pints, get back in the car. Obviously not, you know, not the person who had the pints isn't driving, and go back home. That's a nice evening, and that's basically what this is.
Yeah, 100%. I'm just gonna get a long distance delivery from Leicester.
Yeah,
I was gonna say you made that sound now like we'll just be eating a curry online.
That's my plan.
Right.
The theme for this next flat share is like, Tom, Ben, one of you two is going to eat this curry online.
That isn't a bad theme. It might be curry themed now. I think that might be a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, while we have a think about that, enjoy this house meeting.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What temperature should we set the heat?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
It occurred to me the other day that the technology I've dreamt of surely can't be too far away. And then I kind of thought, right, so basically, I'm running. I've started trying to run again because I think, like, I'm sure most people had that experience over Christmas, but like, I was suddenly very fat. Like, I've always been like fine with being large, but like, within the space of like, say, 2 weeks, it really got away from me.
I think
and
that's
I was
true
like,
of everybody.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, that's it. It was like that sudden thing of going, oh, and I got a bit nervous about it because I was like, oh, I'm actually, that happened really quickly.
Yeah.
But I think also it's a trick your body plays on you.
I was going to say, if this can happen quickly, then just think of 2 weeks' time and then 2 weeks... like, basically, yeah. you're doubling in it. Size.
It gets exponential, doesn't it? Like, your body plays a real trick on you, peach. I think.
Yeah. Well, it's the snowball effect, and you are turning into a big snowman.
Because you're like, you think, well, look, we're letting it go. It's the winter. I'll have a bit of that. I'll have an extra slice of bread at the end of my meals. You know, I was back to student washing up. You know,
yeah.
like...
Washing up like, with a slice know. Of bread and then eating yeah. that slice of bread, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, bread and butter at the end of every meal. I just got back into that habit for no reason. Snacking away.
I know, it's bad. I'm in that as well, where you get to the end of a dinner. Like, last night, I had a big dinner, but I got to the end of it and I was like, what else can I eat?
Oh, man. Yeah.
Just like mooching around the kitchen, go, what else? There's got to be something else here that I can snack on.
I had the exact same thing last night.
And there isn't anything because I've eaten it all. That's the problem. I'm walking around going, there's nothing else in the house I can eat. And so, like, and then in the end, just to eat something, I think I went and had like a couple of plain Jacob's crackers. And you're like, why are you eating two plain Jacob's crackers, you know, 15 minutes before you're going to get into bed? What is the point?
Why are you trying to eat three dry Jacob's cream crackers in a minute for 20 quid? Why have you given yourself that challenge before bed?
I did then have a donut without licking my lips. By the way, check out my YouTube channel.
Little midnight treat, the cinnamon challenge. Yeah, of course. Oh, I got such a thirst.
I remember doing the eating donuts. We did it for a long time as kids. Every time we had a donut, it's like, right, try and eat it without licking your lips. And it took me about 3 years to twig on. I was like, we're completely ruining the treat of having a donut here every single time.
Yeah, you're punishing yourself.
Just not enjoying it. But I can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, tragically, I never lick my lips when I'm eating anything. It's the worst trick to have taught myself.
You forgot, didn't you? You just forgot how to lick your lips.
Do you think Kenneth Branagh's really good at that? He must be. Because he's barely got any lips. His lips are so thin.
They're all on the inside of his mouth. He must be.
Oh, maybe that's it. Maybe he's constantly hydrating the inside of his mouth.
Do you think he was so good at licking his lips that he licked away quite a lot of his lips at an early age? That's a slippery slope.
Do you know what? The opposite of that happened to a kid I went to primary school with, whereas he chewed his lips so much they got massive.
Oh, wow. Didn't girls do that to kind of give themselves plumped up lips?
Bite your lips to plump them up. I mean, I guess so. I guess it's not a million miles away from sort of pinching the cheeks to make them look rosy. But yeah, he used to chew his lips kind of as a sort of, I guess, a sort of habitual tic he had. And they just got massive. They were really big. And I mean, they were luscious. You know, like when you would get like wax lips, or like, you know, the kind of lips you'd buy as like a cartoon. They look like that. You know, they look like that, you know, they look like, you know, the Salvador Dali chair, the sofa.
Like they were Botoxed.
Very kissable he became.
Clock on them.
Didn't he get work with the Rolling Stones advertising their tours?
He would stand at the back of the stage with a camera pointing at his gob and just dangle his tongue out. But then, you know what? Here's the thing. Charlie Watts, ever the prankster, would feed him a donut and he wouldn't be able to leave. He's had to have his if the tongue starts wagging all around, it no longer becomes the iconic logo. So he'd feed him a donut and he'd be there eating a donut and keep his tongue out of his mouth.
That'd be not there. That was their encore for many years, wasn't it? No one was happy.
I mean, you're shouting brown sugar, but how about a small amount of sugar all over some donuts?
He's not licking that brown sugar. Come on. There was it just made me think of a story my mom told me when we were at junior school. There was this boy in Beth's year. And she said he'd borrowed his dad's razor to see what it felt like and shaved off his lips. Shaved off his lips. And like, so we never went near dad's razor. Like the story worked. But surely now, thinking about it, what must have happened is he cut himself a little bit, or So, yeah. But like the way it was told,
he nicked himself and it bled loads and it seemed really scary. But cutting off your own lips with a shaver is something that the fucking Nightcrawler does. It's not like, it's not, you know, it's not something you can do to yourself.
Also, he shaved off his own lips.
What are you spiting with that? You must be spiting something massive.
Yeah, it's very good.
You're shaving off your lips to spite your dad.
To spite Gillette.
So where were we? Yes, so there you go. Rapid escalation of weight gain. And the problem with weight gain is it gets to a position where you're like you get to a position where it feels
so lovely.
It starts to feel really right.
Yeah, it does.
And you're like, great, here we go. I'll just be this guy for a while. And that's dangerous because it's really quite enjoyable, I think. But anyway, I had to get back out running again.
You're running.
So
where are you running? Because I don't know the area you live in. Do you get to run through, you know, the forests? Do you get to run through fields, or are you doing sort of classic pavement running?
Down to the park and round the park three times.
I'm
a loop man. I need to do loops psychologically. I think you need to know how the distance you're running and not think about what you're running. So you get into a loop, you can switch off, start thinking the good thoughts, and then get home.
Here's my problem with the loop is that you always get to the point where in a couple loops time, you get close to home again, basically, is what I'm saying.
Oh, right.
So you do a loop and you're like, I'm at the point where...
I've got a theory on this though, Clarkie. My theory is the opposite, that it's better because of that. Because if you're just running away from home, if you're just running indiscriminately and you're not doing a loop, not indiscriminately, you're not like heading into traffic. You're not blindfolded.
He's running away from home. He's weaving all over the place. This guy's in trouble.
There's a voice.
I'm in my car. I'm drunk. No, so like what you do is you're like, if you're running away, you're running like constantly. You're like, the question that keeps on going in your head is, should I turn back now? Or when shall I start heading back? Or shall I turn around? Or am I heading back now?
Yeah.
It's like a constant conversation.
Yes.
Whereas when you're in a loop, you cheat yourself in 10 seconds. Like you're approaching the bit where it's the end of your loop and you're like, I could go home now. I want to go home now. And then you're past that point really quickly and you're like, well, I can't now because I'm back on the other loop. So actually the conversation of should I head home is much shorter. And it's so much easier to just go, you're not going back, mate. And you're like, oh, no.
I wanted
it. Like,
to.
But you've missed your turning. And then there's a little reward you're going again.
There is a little reward in that, isn't there, of going, oh, I'm doing a bit more today. I'm pushing beyond. You know, it's rewarding yourself for that little thing of just running over the bit which could take you home.
And then you go again. So that's kind of, that's why I'm a loop man. But here's what, so I'm on Strava. Which is Facebook for running. And the reason I'm on that is because like lots of my family are healthier than me and they're all on it. And so therefore, like, once you put yourself on it, you got to keep running, else, you know, you get a text from your brother saying you've dropped off. So what I thought about the other day is my dream technology is obviously Strava knows when you're running the same loops and it gives you these things where it says, you've just run that loop fastest than you've run it before.
Yeah.
Well done. So, do you remember me and Clarkie used to play the Micro Machines computer game?
I played the Micro Machines computer game. We all played the Micro Machines computer game,
this.
Mate. Yeah.
It was going to be our Twitch millions.
But we still haven't quite worked out what Twitch is. That's our only downfall from becoming Twitch millionaires is none of us know what Twitch is.
Yes, and also we weren't inundated with people saying, oh yeah, definitely do that.
No,
please.
one dude said I'd watch it.
And that was me, because I didn't understand what it was. Am I watching or am I playing or what? What is this?
I'll watch it just so I can get the gist and then I'll join in. That was our only feedback, that was from Clarkie.
That's still his approach to this podcast, isn't it? He's still... people think
he's
we talk over
fully
him.
Fully committed.
No. He's dipping his toe in the water.
House meeting.
Can I have a lift? I live in London.
House meeting.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
The best bit of Micro Machines was when you did your best lap and then you got to race against your shadow car. And you could see, mate, you know, either your mate's lap or your own lap.
This
and
is
you're
good.
Racing by, yeah, your shadow car.
I like this a lot. This is strong.
I bet we're not 2 years away from your those kind of Google specs.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, because those took off.
Google specs, they're coming. They're coming back better though, aren't they? Surely.
Like an Oculus type, you know, one of those Oculus Rift type things.
Your AI, the head of the Transformers.
This could be like your this could be your Peloton.
Right. So yeah. Then you get to race against the hologram of your previous runs.
It's great.
It's so good.
You know, so you stick on some glasses and there you are and you can see yourself. Oh, look, I started quicker this time, so I'm going to get ahead of myself. And the technology is certainly there for that. And yeah, it's just like effectively you get a mark, you create like a little AI version of yourself. It's no different to like your Pokemon Go's or that kind of stuff, but it's you yourself. And you know, and then you can start doing it, I don't know, in the supermarket and be like, I just want to
hold on.
I want the same shop running again. Well, you kind of go, well, say for example,
in Sainsbury's.
Do you have that feeling when you get in the supermarket and you're like, you finish the shop and you go, that wasn't as good a shop as last week's shop.
That was sloppy.
And it's like, yeah, it was like I was slow.
I had to go back.
I forgot that thing. And you're at the till and you're like, I've forgotten that. Whereas you stick in last week's shop in your hologram eyes and then you get to follow yourself around getting it right again.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
He's got holographic eyes.
but even, what about this? Because then you can have, you know, in the same way you can have a sat nav that's got like different, you know, like John Cleese doing Basil Fawlty doing your sat nav. You could be like, okay, you want to do the same shop. Say for example, you arrive at a Tesco and they go, did you know this is also Richard Branson's branch of Tesco? Want to do the same shop as Richard Branson?
Oh, no, bought an island.
All right,
seven bottles of champagne, please. Oh, God.
Maybe that's a bad idea because, yeah,
it
basically...
It works for the running, though.
It works for the running. It doesn't work if you want to follow a celebrity around and buy the same stuff as them because, yeah, they're going to be buying more expensive stuff than you.
No, but what
also
does
I don't
work
imagine
is...
he does a shop in Tesco, but, you know, I like
no,
it.
Not him.
No, but, like, Tesco does, like, a shop nav, right? That's what you do. And so, say you get to Canterbury Tesco, it goes, do you know who lives in Tesco? No, not do you know who lives in Tesco.
It says, we'll all go to Tesco's where Parry gets his best clothes.
Pretty sure that was Sainsbury's, guys.
The gig's up, by the way, because I said, I don't really know where you live, Parry. Where do you live? Trying to eat teas out of him. Parry, we know. We did an advert for Sainsbury's, but we know you've been living in Tesco's, mate.
Look, the rumours are true. Let's all go to Tesco's where Parry buys his best clothes. Let's all go to Sainos where Parry buys his chinos. Look,
the next line of that. Did you have this? By the way, did you have? Let's all go to Tesco's where blah blah gets his best clothes. Did you have that at school?
Absolutely, yeah. Right. A real joy.
Did you have a second verse? Sorry, go on, Clarkie. Yeah.
Well, I didn't get it until Tom. So I didn't know about it in school, but he used to say it about our mate all the time.
What, when you're in your, like your 20s?
Yeah. So that was when I got on board. And for a long time, I thought it was something that Tom had just made up about our mates.
It's good,
I
though.
I think I was the...
I think you were the one who started it.
I was on the originator, yeah.
Someone has to. Someone has to have written it.
Well, of course, that's it.
But the second verse, which I never thought was as good as the first.
They rarely are.
If anything, it was a little bit louder and a little bit worse. It was let's all go to Mothercare where Clarky gets his groovy hair.
I mean, if the hair fits.
I enjoy that, I think,
getting your clothes from Tesco's sort of makes sense, you know. I mean, I've bought some clothes from Tesco's, and then, you know, then they're not bad, but they're not Prada, are they?
They're not your best clothes.
Well, no,
Richard
but also
Branson's
what you
not
forget.
Going round. Thinking I've got a holiday to Necker Island. I better go and buy some slacks.
What you forget about Let's All Go to Tesco's where blah blah buys their best clothes is that was before supermarkets did clothing ranges. So
not when you were doing it, it wasn't.
It was a lot more of a diss, kind of like back in the day when Tesco was chiefly a supermarket. Whereas now, you get really good clothes in, you know, Asda, Sainos.
George Asda, Tesco. Yeah, great. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. That you're imagining somebody like opening a packet of like Bachelor's Super Noodles and like wearing that as a hat. That's sort of what you're imagining, you know.
I'm always imagining
that. Well, of course you're imagining that. You've got your hologram eyes on.
Burning like fire.
What I thought you were going to say is you get to Canterbury Tesco and it's like, do you know that Nigel Havers lives in Canterbury? And then you
why
take a picture of
why can't we think
of
a good celeb? What's our problem? Because right. I'll tell you before I said Richard Branson, I'll tell you what my brain was doing. What was my brain going for our classic go-to trendy modern celeb? Who was I thinking of?
Eugene Toombs from your style. He hasn't got a problem reaching the top shelf, I can tell you that.
Everything's an aisle for Toomsy.
Stretch Armstrong over there.
They didn't need to worry about opening late just so he could have a stroll around. He'd just come in through the letterbox. No, I was thinking of Stormzy. Of course I was thinking of Stormzy.
Of course, Stormzy.
Of course. If you get three white middle-aged men to say a trendy person, Stormzy.
Each branch of Tesco's will be allotted a local celebrity.
Sure.
And as you go into the store, you put a QR code, whatever they are, of your shopping list.
If it's a QR code, it's like it's because Sandy Toxfig shop's there.
Sandy Toxfig, tell you. Okay.
Oh, now that's a shop I'd do.
I think I could fit into Toxfig's clothes. So actually, that would be if I could find, because I'm currently trying to buy myself a pair of trousers I can get the waist right, but I can't get the legs right. I've got to go to Toxfig's.
Have you tried shorts?
I should just buy adult shorts and wear them like normal trousers.
Yeah.
God, that'd be a really funny fit for you.
I bet
we can find a pair of shorts online that's big enough for you to wear as trousers.
Yeah, because people like it. You know, the ankle swing is very popular nowadays, isn't
it?
You know, the sort of, just a little bit off the ankle. I reckon I could just get a pair of skinny shorts that a tall guy could wear. Yeah, great idea.
Speaking of snowballing, I'm in new jeans today because...
New jean tunes?
My best, that's what they call me. My best jeans, the old hole in the crotch opened up. That happens so quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like a tiny little thing and then suddenly within like 4 days...
Well, also, you've always got them on for four days?
Did you go to a disco in the middle of the town and then they split? Is that...
But the other thing with Parry is that once you've got the hole, and I know about this, you worry it with the finger, don't you? It's like a wobbly tooth to you.
I've spent a lot of time at a desk, and so like there was a lot of worrying going on.
Yeah.
They're worrying times.
Yeah, there is something quite satisfying about working your finger through the hole in your jeans and just pressing one of your testicles, and just thinking,
I mean, that's it.
Boop.
Like the Pillsbury Doughboy.
I'm really missing the access that those jeans were giving me.
Well, just cut yourself a little hole in the pockets.
Well, no, I was thinking... you know those arse flap pyjamas that were all the rage at Christmas?
Yes.
I want one of those, but that's like a little hatch.
Like the Muppet Babies used to wear.
Yeah, did you not see? Like, there was like... There was like, they were all the rage at Christmas, like those kind of Grandpa Joe pants. From,
right,
you know,
like some, like someone in True Grit would wear, or something like that.
Yeah,
like kind
yeah.
of an old prospector yeah. would wear them.
Like yeah, you were like literally with your, gonna, yeah, and weird adverts where they were kind of advertised by like sexy ladies right. with the
arse
with the
flap gym jams. Yeah.
I don't know why they're advertising like, you, Clark. You could surely a shirt with a little a shirt with a little string you pull, and it
just a turned down
open.
Collar is enough for me.
Little arse curtain.
I like that, Clarky.
I have
yeah.
to cancel it just to cover.
You've got to pop. You've got to pop your collar to avoid your arse popping up to say hello. So yeah. So you were that you could sort of. I mean, what's the idea that you could go to the loo in the night without taking your pants off?
Is I think that, so, or probably some misguided sexiness as well. I guess.
Oh, the sort of pegging
probably
pants.
At play.
You could be pegged. You could be
You've
pegged
got me
while
pegged.
You could think
pegging
well,
pants.
Because the problem is, as you know, as three guys who love to peg and be pegged, it's too chilly
peggers,
at the moment.
Yeah.
It's three peggers exactly.
<That's it>.
Yeah.
The three peggers was initially our first name.
Puppies peggers,
Los Tros Pegos. Yeah, it was
Unos dos Pegos.
Yeah, Unos dos Pegos. We were the three peggers, and we'd come on stage wearing strap-ons, and believe you me, it really turned heads, and the head would be the person who's being pegged.
Strap-ons and pyjama flap PJs, that's what we'd wear, like the arse flap PJs.
Ahead of the curve. So yeah, because it's not
behind the curves. anyway,
Pappy's pegging PJs would be our
Los,
line of clothes.
Los Tros Pegos pegging PJs is not a bad idea. Actually,
it's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea. Three Mexican men with those pegging PJs on. That's great.
The film behind that story would be a bit like Kinky Boots.
The film behind can I ask you what's the film behind your pants, by the way? I see you wearing wife fronts. What's the story behind that?
There's like a traditional pajamas shop in like Buckinghamshire, and it's like, we've sold respectable pajamas for hundreds of years, and then Unos dos Pegos arrive and we're like, we've bought you out, we're gonna exclusively sell pegging pajamas.
Yeah,
and we win over the staff and make millions.
I don't think we need to turn this into a film. I think we make this our business plan.
Yeah, well,
yeah, but a part of the business plan is the film.
It starts as a business plan, and then, you know, yeah. Aaron Sorkin will do. It's like, you know, he did it for Facebook. He'll do it for pegging pajamas.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think Mark Zuckerberg started with the film first. I think that ever started. He's like, I'll tell you what, we really should turn this into a film before I've made it. But yes, you were saying about the pegging pants.
Well, I was literally just saying jeans that have like a little flap, but in that kind of the area where the groin goes.
The fly.
So you can...
You've got it, mate. Yeah,
no, it's below the fly. It's between the fly and the, you know, the arse.
So yeah, that uncomfortable area.
You want you want a fly that goes beyond the perineum. That's what you're after.
Yes.
Or, oh, hold on. Are you combining the pegging idea here? Is it gonna be a fly that zips right the way around?
I want a flap, or I want buttons positioned on a jean, so that when your favourite jeans start to go in that vital groin area, you can button on a patch that makes you acceptable in the outside world, but when you're at home, you can pop the flap and have a worry.
Here's the thing, when you're at home, you don't even need to be wearing jeans, Tom. You can worry to your heart's content.
No, but it's less pleasurable.
It's the illicit, isn't it? It's the illicit, it's the working of the finger in.
For some reason, this is making me feel way more uncomfortable than the pegging PJs ever did. Those I'm fine with, but the worry hole. Oh dear.
But anyway, we've digressed away from what is actually a really strong idea, which is every Tesco has its own celebrity.
Yeah.
Right?
Hold on.
Yeah.
You take a QR code of your shopping list, and then that local celebrity walks you round the shop. In the most efficient way,
it's great
to get everything you need. So it's like your green beans are on the left. You take the green beans over there's your oranges, and like then you know because most Tesco's, there's a little difference between each supermarket you go to.
So a celebrity is going to have to go through literally every combination of everything in the shop. So
no, it's a deep fake, isn't it? It's a deep fake.
The computer program does it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So it just kind of links together.
Yeah.
There's a code
like commentary
for that, yeah.
in FIFA.
It's going to be a bit like, in Total Recall. It's a bit like that, where sort of there were sort of, you know, holograms driving trains and stuff like that. It's got that kind of vibe to it. In fact, you could go one step further. You could say, today, you know, Jamie Oliver's going to walk you around Sainos or whatever. That would be one thing. But then
it's just Clarky.
Exactly.
Jamie Oliver's going to walk around Tesco's. He's never going to turn round.
Yeah, just look at his shoulder.
Well, don't look at his shoulder. Look above his shoulder, please. Come on.
But
his collar's popped.
But then you go to different parts of the shop and there are other celebs there. You know, for example, there's Paul Newman with his salad dressings. There's Lloyd Grossman with his pasta sauces. Levi Roots has got reggae sauce. You know, all of these people are there, right, to talk you through, you know. Wouldn't it be great if you're walking down the aisle, you get a tap on the shoulder, it sort of feels like a tap, you turn around, it's like, who would buy a pasta sauce like this?
That would be good unless it's your wedding day. You're walking down the aisle, tap on the shoulder. What are you doing here, Levi?
That wasn't that. Oh, lovely stuff.
Lovely
strong stuff.
But anyway, and to finally get to the bottom of it, you're racing against yourself in the run, a hologram version of yourself. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the run, you get to shake yourself by the hand. The technology is nearly there. The technology is nearly there.
That's what I was saying.
Like, normally, you come with invention ideas, and let's face it, they're dog shit. But this one...
Whoa, Clarky. Hey, Queensbury rules, Clarky. Come on, mate.
My dog shit invention was a really good idea. Dogs need to get rid of their waste. Why can't they? Why, let's let them shit just like humans. That was a really good idea, that. It'll catch on, I promise
let's,
you.
Let's design them a worry hole.
It was the fact that Parry had to work it out with his finger. That was the key flaw in your dog shit plan.
Yeah, exactly. I've only got so many fingers. There are only so many dogs. Anyway,
I think it's pure gold.
Yeah,
I think if you don't do it, somebody else. If you don't do it, somebody else will.
But I haven't got the capabilities to do it, and surely someone else is doing it already.
Yeah. Well, don't know. The thing is, we've got an army of listeners, millions upon millions listening to this, and probably one of them is an investor.
Yeah,
is Branson listening?
If Branson's listening, or if, you know, we've got other millionaire listeners, or we've got other, you know, hungry scientists, you know, maybe they've just been kicked out of the lab because they're a bit unconventional. Get in touch with us.
Yeah, you sound like Dominic Cummings now.
We're looking for the oddballs, a free thinker. We are. Yeah, absolutely. If Dominic Cummings is listening, I know he needs a job. Get back on board with us.
By the way, have you heard back from GB News yet? How did our pitch go? Are they going to have us on?
House meeting.
What's the worst thing you've considered eating?
House meeting.
Are there any other instances outside of shopping or exercising where you would like a past version of yourself to help you out or show the way?
Cooking. And absolutely. Any time I've got a meal... Because what you want to be able to... This is where it gets into sort of creepy territory, because what you want it to sort of be doing is constantly filming you and constantly monitoring you, and then you can say save or bank or something like that at the end of cooking a really good meal. You know, when you get a bolognese exactly right, I did it the other night. I got, you know, it was just the right amount. I spent just the right amount of time on it. Everything sort of, it felt like a meal rather than a selection of ingredients together.
Yeah,
and I thought if I could at the end of that, I could have gone.
Hang on, have you not been mixing your ingredients previously?
No,
that is pretty crucial to making a bolognese.
But you know what I mean.
Your deconstructed bolognese.
Matthew's first.
There's a bowl of onions.
Yeah, Matthew's first instruction: get 15 pans.
No, but right, here's the thing: do you ever make something and you go, this doesn't feel like a unit? It feels like a load of things in a in a bowl, kind of semi-happily coexisting. Do you ever get that after cooking a meal?
To be entirely honest, no.
Really?
I don't think so. But maybe I just never considered that as a...
I think when I get it right, everything feels like it's working, you know, as a team. Whereas sometimes you go, you know, like... I can't put it any other way. It feels like you've got all of the things, you've cooked all the things together, but they've never really clicked. There's no chemistry, you know, between the individual ingredients.
Wow.
I mean, I feel like, that was not the case the other day with this bolognese I made. I was so happy with it, and if I'd known that I was being, you know, being recorded by sort of an Alexa or whatever the system is, and I could have gone, you know, Alexa, save that, and then next time I could have just got all of the timings right, you know. I could just been, because I was sort of, you know, I was sort of busking it. I wasn't really paying a tremendous amount of attention. You know,
this is where Strava's satisfying is, like, it objectively will tell you that was your best yet. You know, you just did there, that was your best yet. So
that was your fastest 5K, or that was your fastest mile or whatever, yeah.
That was your tastiest bolognese. Do you know what I mean? Like, whatever, it'd be like... This, it objectively tells you, well done, you smashed that. That was your best sort of thing.
Yeah. I guess tastiest bolognese is, that's just down to you, isn't it? It's not like,
yeah,
it's not like
things like largest poo I'd be up for. Like if someone said, if when you went to the toilet, your smart, if your smart toilet was like, that is your largest poo of the month, you'd be like, yeah, it felt like it was and it is. It'd be like quite satisfying to know that. Do you know what I mean? Or like, you've pooed loads today. Not that.
I know when I've pooed loads. It's not like... Is that the other thing you're finding when you worry into your jeans? Popping a finger in going, oh, God, I've pooed loads today. Probably should change these jeans.
How about then for the kitchen? You have like a little like mouth... And then you can pop the food into the mouth. You can pop just a little sample of the food into the mouth.
Is it the guy who Crosby used to go to school with? Yeah, he's standing next to a hole in your kitchen wall.
That's it. There's a big set of lips there. And you pop the food in and you can have different, like, different critics or different chefs. And they could, and it electronically kind of monitors the food. But it, and then it could be like, needs more salt.
So you've got, but no, because that's, you've got your own mouth.
Yeah, but right? If you've that's got your own mouth, then what's the problem, Crosbo?
Yep.
Only you can take that away from you with a razor borrowed from your father.
No, but you've got your own gob. You can taste and go, oh, that needs more salt. That's the thing you can do yourself. However, the overall, like, you know, while I was making this, I wasn't writing down exact timings. I was... You know, I wasn't writing out exact amounts. I was just kind of, I was feeling my way. I had a couple of glasses of wine on the go, you know. Like, it was, I mean, maybe actually you're proving the point in that that's what made it a good meal.
Yeah.
I was having a nice time doing it. I was relaxed. I set myself loads of time, wasn't rushing it. Actually, trying to follow exactly step by step the same way would not be, you know, the pleasure of cooking is the experimentation. So maybe that's what it's removing. I think the good thing about your fastest run is it's just one number, right? It's just one number you have to beat rather than a load of other factors. Whereas your best shopping's a feeling, isn't it?
Shopping's an emotion.
Shopping's a feeling. That's
Shopping's a feeling. I love it.
Yeah.
I think that's same with cooking.
Cooking's a feeling. Shopping's a feeling. Where does it end? Does it go into, like, you know, your best lovemaking session? You can't do that.
Your best poo?
I suppose your biggest poo, I think Parry had it exactly right there, because that is a number. It's a number two.
It is.
But it's a number. It's a measurable.
That was so big, it was a number three.
Is shopping or cooking a feeling, though? Or is it something you do?
It can be both. It can be both. I think sometimes it's definitely something you do, but other times it's a feeling.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I like it. I mean, I like it. It sounds great.
I think it is. Sometimes you know, but it's like you said yourself. Sometimes you come out of the shop and go, I did well there. You know, that was right. I did it right.
Yeah, there are a few different metrics you might be judging it on.
Yeah. I don't think it's just that you got timed? In and you got out quickly. It's not just time. Well, that's, you know, then I suppose
one
that's,
of them.
That's also true of running, isn't it? It's not just time. It's not just running faster and faster and faster. It's running better and more efficient.
Sometimes when you win, you really lose. And sometimes when you lose, you really win.
What's that from?
White men can't jump.
Was that Lloyd Grossman?
Whispering in your ear on your wedding day. That's not what you want to hear. Okay. I am also going to say, I think what we're describing is you can have feelings about the shopping you've just done. but I do like the phrase, shopping is a feeling.
I think basically what we've managed to do today is start off with a really good invention and then come up with progressively better and better inventions.
House meeting.
Cold rain or hot snow?
What is sleeting?
House meeting.
There we go. I enjoyed that house meeting. I enjoyed that house meeting so much.
Can I tell you something, by the way? I've got an email here.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Lewis has got in touch via pappysflatshare@gmail.com. We'd love you to get in touch as well, guys. Please get in touch.
Yeah,
at any point. I'm going to read something out to you. Now, we always plug the Patreon and say, you know, get on board with the Patreon. There's loads of extra stuff. Lewis has crunched the numbers. He said, greetings, Tom, Ben, Matthew, and producer Emma, in the order in which you most often reveal yourself to the listeners, dear. Hmm. Reveal ourselves? What? I don't know. But anyway, listen, maybe he's trying to blackmail us. I have not read this properly.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, he says, from the distant southern shores of Dunedin, New Zealand.
Wow.
Hello, Lewis from New Zealand. As a modern, digitally organised and childless Patreon subscriber, or dork if you will, I undertook recently to sort out my library of Pappy's material into folders which separate the various strands you so dexterously weave into our ear canals. This fits into the very topic we were talking about on the house meeting. He's going to give you some stats, Parry.
Oh, yes. I love it.
He's going to give you some cold, hard stats.
Great.
The strident bombast of a Flatshare Slamdown is a wonderful thing, but for my palate, needs to be in a separate serving than the comforting warmth of either a Love Sex Shagdown or a big plate of bangers and mash. Now, without meaning to disrespect your unique style of clusterfuck branding, I consider there to be... That's a very good description of the way in which we promoted really ourselves over the last 14 years. I consider there to be three main flavours of sweet, sweet pappies. Flatshare Slamdown, Beef Brothers Cold Cuts, and all the other ones. I think that's fair, isn't it? Flatshare Slamdown's a panel show. Beef Brothers Cold Cuts as a guest. Everything else is just the three of us nattering on. The upshot of these, let's not go so far as to say wasted hours, is that I can reveal to you that if I were to lose my job and girlfriend and the ability to go to sleep, it would be possible for me to listen to 6 days, 13 hours and 4 minutes straight of unfettered Pappy's chat by way of bangers and mash, house meetings, pub meetings, bonus beefs, bonus house meetings and Flatshare lockdowns.
Wow.
In a couple of months, that will be over a week. So that's like, if you join the Patreon, obviously not the bangers and mash stuff, but you're topping us up to almost a week's worth of entertainment immediately for £4.50.
Should I fancy... Hop on the Patreon. Oh, sorry, go on.
No, he's carried on. It's all right, do you need to go?
No, carry on.
It's all right, it's like literally just another 4 or 5 paragraphs and we're done. where was I? Yes. Should I fancy a very faintly...
You could just start at the start again, actually.
Yeah, you're right,
it's good
actually.
To hear it all.
Greetings, Tom, Ben, Matthew, and producer Emma, in order of the order in which you most often reveal yourself. Now, actually, let's not read that bit again. He says, should I fancy a very faintly more formatted experience, I could immerse myself in 1 day and just under 8 hours of pure Beef Brothers cold cuts. Now, that's what I call beef immersion. Lastly, I could always turn to Flatshare Slamdown and its associated bonus content, or Gateway Pappies, to give it its street name, and drink in a not insignificant 3 days... 14 hours and 22 minutes of, and let's not beat around the bush here, content. There's no punchline here, guys, no beef to solve, but for those with thine own consciences, you may as well be told about the 11 and a half days of material you've disseminated and I sincerely hope nobody else out there has been mad enough to tot it up. Yours with eternal love, suspicion, and regret, Lewis. P.S. Considering becoming an annual Patreon subscriber, but I'm concerned to see rumours that you intend to start paying Clarkie. This is unacceptable and must not be permitted to come to pass. Clarkies have had it too good for too long. When are people going to wake up? Thank you, Lewis.
Good call.
I enjoyed that tremendously.
It's amazing. It's,
you did, didn't you?
Absolutely outrageous, Parry, that you spend an entire episode going, oh, I wish I had my stats. I'd love to know about my biggest poo. This is your biggest poo, mate. This is a pile of shit of your own creation. Lewis has totted it up.
This is like that scene in Jurassic Park, Parry.
This is exactly that. And Lewis has Gillian McKeith through your feces, and you can't even give him the time of day. Well, there you go, Lewis. There you go. But your work is highly appreciated. At least by one of us, yeah.
Okay. So if you want to get involved in all that content, join the Patreon and hop over to the Patreon community. It's lovely to have, the Flatshare Lockdown podcast that runs alongside these ones. So hop on board and give it a listen.
Patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare.
Yes. Today's episode was produced by Emma Caution.
Yesterday's episode.
Today's
episode was produced
yes,
by
today's episode was produced by Emma Caution.
Caution team.
Cheers, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Gather round, folks, and please be upstanding. I have a tale that will make you standing. Please be upstanding. Oh my gosh. Stand over there and stand a lot. It's the Patreon Neighborhood Watch roll call, and I'll tell you now that I am standing.
It's good.
Let
to be
me tell you the tale of a man with a quiff. His name was Matt Frith.
Let me tell you now of a man who was long. His name was John. His name was John.
Let me tell you of someone. His name was Ed Thompson. Well, there was once a riot, and everyone in the town left their house and started looting. I got a camcorder to film some of the criminals, and I found out one of them was Anna Wooton.
After the riot, I went to the pub and I ordered myself a pint of cider. Who should I see supping one in the corner? No, none other than Izzy Ryder.
Then in the pub, I filmed her on my camcorder. Sorry.
Then in the pub, I played on the gamblers. Good luck. I hope you will wish me. And then I saw my friend Scott Kabishley.
He didn't realise that under my jacket I had my camcorder filming through my shirt. I caught him on the gambler's true and watched it back for my own entertainment. Then later on I drank through a straw and I filmed through her curtain Edwin Shaw.
When you filmed Edwin Shaw, I want to know just what you saw. The things you saw made you say fucking hell, and then I showed the video to Richard Bicknell.
Then I took the camera away and I gave it a long sniff. Then I gave it to my friend, and his name was Ben Smith.
I couldn't film you sniffing my camera because you were holding it at the time under your nose. I would like to get that camera back and learn of what it smelt like. And then I want to film several people called Carl. That's right, a collection of Carls. I'll film them good and then sell the bootleg DVD to Sam Scales.
Sam Scales is a lucky person, for they're going to get a video of some Carls. How many Carls will there be? I hope there's more than four or three. Will there be nine or will there be 10? Only one person knows, and that's Harry Wenham.
Then I will and take and I will. Oh dear.
He will. Oh, he will. Don't you worry about that. I assure you he will, you stupid twat.
Well, to you I must yield, and my friend Matthew Parsfield.
I'm crouched in Matthew's room, and I'm waiting with my camcorder. I want him to come in so I can film him. The only problem is it's very dark. I wish that it could be bright. I will have to ask my friend with a lamp. Come over here, Stuart Wright.
Please come here, dear Stuart, our friend, and light ourselves all through the night. You will help us to feel so good, and you will help us to feel so right. And then we will know the way, we'll know the way, so true, so right. And who will guide us with their lantern? Well, it must be Eleanor McKnight.
Ah, oh, but the light is very dim. Oh dear, what shall we do? How will we guide the way when the light is so terribly scant? Well, I must bring my friend who always has a lamp. It's Kaylee Grant.
Hey everyone, I've got some fantastic news. Netflix have just called and they've commissioned this video. They want to put it out as a new series. They said the real deal breaker was the word scant. That concludes today's Patreon neighborhood. Watch roll call and we'll see you on Netflix. Hi ho, scant.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.